So let's read this chapter from the Bible, Psalm 136, together. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
For his mercy.
Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him alone, who alone doeth great wonders. To him that by wisdom made the heavens. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters. To him that made great lights. The sun to rule by day. The moon and stars to rule by night. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn. And brought out Israel from among them. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. To him which led his people through the wilderness. To him which smote great kings and slew famous kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, the king of Bashan, and gave their land for an heritage, even an heritage unto Israel his servant. Who remembered us in our low estate, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, who giveth food to all flesh. O give thanks unto the God of heaven. Bow with me for a word of prayer, if you would. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that through this message, Lord, you'll hide me behind the cross. I pray, Lord, that you'll help me to rightly divide the word of truth. And I pray, Lord, that you may speak to our hearts today through your word. I pray that your name and your name alone will be honored and glorified. Just fill me with your spirit. Simply means control me completely with your spirit today. Lord, I pray that you'll bind Satan's hands, Lord. And Lord, for his attempts to try to keep us distracted and being thinking about a thousand different things about life that's either past, present, or future. But Lord, may we just focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ and his word today. Lord, because you are worthy, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want you to think back a little bit in time. Unfortunately, some people live in the past. I'm not telling you to live in the past, but to think back just a little bit. Remember when you were children, you were a child, and you like to compare dads. Compare one dad to another. Like, for instance, one child would say, my dad chopped down a tree in four swings of the axe. And someone would pipe up and say, well, that's nothing. My dad can chop down that tree in two swings of the axe. Remember that? Yeah, hello, y'all there? My dad can lift 400 pounds, someone might say. Well, that's nothing. My dad can lift a small compact car. One child may say, my dad can run the 100 meter dash in 10 seconds flat. Well, that's nothing. My dad can run the 100 meter dash in 5 seconds flat. My dad can whip your dad. No, no, no. My dad can whip your dad. No, 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 no. My dad can whip your dad with one arm tied behind his back. You remember those days? I remember thinking my dad could do about anything. My dad was a little guy. I mean, he could whip anybody. Probably couldn't, but hey, that's the way I was thinking. But let me ask you a question along those lines. As children of our Heavenly Father, how does our Heavenly Dad, if you will, compare to other gods? How does the God of the universe, the God of the Bible, our Heavenly Father, compare to other little g gods of this world? You see, I'm convinced that if a person goes through Thanksgiving, I do not believe this is a true statement, but even in their mind, if they think, I have nothing to be thankful for. I'm a Christian, but I have nothing to be thankful for. Everything's been going bad. Now, I really think you probably have more to be thankful for than you can imagine. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can be thankful for Him. What an amazing God we have. Today, through the message, basically what we're going to be doing, we're going to be bragging on God. And I believe God wants us to brag on Him. I think God wants us to praise Him. I think God wants us to realize what an amazing God we serve. Title of the message, Our Awesome God, 9 Reasons to Be Thankful. Our Awesome God, 9 Reasons to Be Thankful. Today we're going to be looking through Psalm 136 today. We'll try to be as quick as we can. Some of them we'll pause on a little bit more than others, certain of these points. But this chapter describes our God. I mean, listen, this is not either just some God that's out there. He's some cosmic force. This is a God who wants to be called your Heavenly Father. This is a God who loves you so much, He sent His Son Jesus to die upon the cross. This is a big God. And I think part of being a Christian is getting to the point that we see God more and more for what He is and for who He is. And for, you know, it's not only what God can do for us. Oh, yeah, God, we want you to do this and this and this and this. And God does a bunch of great things, but guess what? It's even more importantly about who God is. And boy, what an awesome God. And even if I give you just a little glimpse of who God is in a little bit bigger way today, or a little bit better way, mission accomplished through the message today. Now, 9 points. I'm not going to test you on 9 different qualities of God or things to praise God for about who God is. But if there's one of them in particular, I call it a shotgun message. It's not that I'm holding a shotgun on you to make sure you stay awake, or holding a shotgun on you so that you pay attention or whatever. It's more like a shotgun. You know, it's got little BBs in that shell, and they scatter. We have 9 points today. It's not like one huge point other than God is amazing, God is awesome. But if there's some point you say, boy, that's good, just grab a hold of that point, would you? Put it in your pocket, take it home with you. Let it bless you the rest of the week. How's that? As I look at this passage of Scripture, our awesome God, 9 reasons to be thankful. 9 reasons to be thankful. First of all, point number 1, our God is good. Our God is good. How many of you had some good food this past Thursday or whenever your family celebrated? All right. How many of you like turkey? How many of you prefer ham? All right. You can throw almost anything at me and put it on my plate, and I'll pretty much eat it. And as you eat that meat, it's like, boy, that's good. I like turkey and dressing. Nobody made, and this is not against Amy, but nobody can make cornbread dressing like my mom made. And boy, that cornbread dressing, good stuff, and you eat it with it. That, you say, that's good, right? Well, let me tell you, our God is good. A whole lot better than turkey and dressing. What does it say in verse 1? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. I find it kind of interesting. It's not only that He was and will be, but He is right now good.
His very nature is good. God is good, clean to the core. You know, 11 times in the book of Psalms, it says that God is good. You know, I've tried to make this point in the past. Our God did not have to be a good God. I mean, what if God by nature was bad or evil? I mean, we couldn't fight him, could we? It's kind of like, what is our power compared to him? I mean, we could get a big meeting and say, okay, we're going to go against God. He's an evil God. What can we? But I'm thankful that our God is a good God. There is nothing. You cannot find one little stitch of anything that's bad. Not even a trace of anything that is evil, because our God is good. Just ponder that thought. Now, we don't like silence in churches, but just ponder that. Just be quiet for a second. Just let your brain get wrapped around that thought that God is good. Did your brain kind of soak that in just a little bit? How good God is. But you know what? It goes beyond him just being good. He doesn't keep his good to himself. Psalm 119, verse 68. Notice this, Psalm 119, verse 68. It says, thou art good, and what? Doest good. Teach me thy statutes. You know, not only makes the statement that God is good, but as a result of him being good, he also does good. Psalm 84 and verse 11. Notice what it says. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Notice this. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Wow. Now, it would be another thing for God just to be good, but he's isolated from us. No. Our God says, you know what? I'm good, and I'm going to show you that I'm good by my actions. It says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Psalm 145 and verse 9. Notice this. It says, the Lord is good to who? To all. And his tender mercies are over all his works. You know, really, the lost world, those people that do not know the Lord as Savior, do you know God is even good to them? Do you know who made the sun come up today? God. You know who made the air mixture just what it needed to be for us to survive? God. Do you know who put the earth exactly where it needed to be? To get the right distance from the sun so that we didn't fry like a French fry or freeze up? God. You know who gave us ultimately, who gave us life? Even if it's someone who's lost, you know who ultimately gave them life? It's God. God is good to all. It's just not his nature. It's just not his nature to be good, but he shows his goodness. And James 1 verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Who is that God? That's our God. That's the God of the Bible. Our awesome God. 9 reasons to be thankful. First of all, our God is good. Secondly, our God's mercy is forever. Our God's mercy is forever. Do you know that word for mercy is a Hebrew word? It's used 247 times in the Old Testament. Wow. That's pretty amazing, right? 8 more times in the book of Psalms, it gives the thought or the words mercy. His mercy endureth forever. Now, I did notice as we went through that, and you had the same repetitive line 26 times. By the time you got to the 26th, you wasn't quite as enthusiastic as you were on the first time. But you know, you say, why in the world did he repeat that 26 times? To make a point. The psalmist, as he wrote this under the direction of the Holy Spirit of God, says, hey, I want to drive home this point that our God's mercy endureth forever. You know, mercy is not giving us what we deserve. You know, love is wrapped up in there. Grace is wrapped up in there. But mercy not giving us what we deserve. Do you know what every single one of us deserve? You know, I have a sin nature. Do you have a sin nature? Look at your neighbor and point at him. You have a sin nature. Go ahead, do that. Nah, they might smack you. I retract that thought. Don't do that. But we do have a sin nature, right? We're sinners before God. And what we deserve, the Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags before God. What we deserve is hell. But because God's mercy endureth forever, I'm going to spend eternity in heaven because of what Jesus did for me. I mean, my goodness, life could be falling apart in your world. But if you know Jesus, God's mercy is not falling apart. God's mercy is right there. God's mercy endureth forever. Wow. You know, have you ever thought about this? What if we went to heaven for like, say, 1,000,000 years, but then God's mercy just ended? Gone. Y'all's on your own. Wouldn't that be great? You know, one day God gets up, makes a big announcement. All you people here in heaven, just find your own wherever you're going to be because my mercy has ended. That'd be a fine how do you do. I'm thankful that God's mercy endureth forever. Aren't you? Our awesome God. 9 reasons to be thankful. Number 1, our God is good. Number 2, our God's mercy is forever. Number 3, our God is the only God. Our God is the only God. Look at verse 3. Oh, give thanks to the what? Go back to verse 2. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. Verse 3. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. He's the premier God. He's the number one God. He is the only God. Aren't you thankful for that? You know, I know that other religions say, well, we got this other God here. We're going to call it. And they give it a name. And then some very immature or unsaved people or unwise people say, oh, it doesn't matter. Just pray to whatever God you want to pray to. Listen, all gods are not created equal. The Bible talks about these idols or these little false little g gods that have ears but cannot hear. They have eyes but they cannot see. They have mouths but they cannot speak. Can I tell you, these false gods, if his name is not the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, if it's not that God of the Bible, they are powerless and they're not big g gods even at all. I'm thankful that the God I serve is God of gods. And guess what? He's also Lord of lords. I think that talks of his preeminence, his reign, his authority. Can anybody outrank God? No. I'm thankful for that. You know, I was thinking, you know, in heaven, the gates will be open. Did y'all catch that when you read in Revelation? You know, one of the reasons for that, because God is all-powerful, right? God is the preeminent God. God is the preeminent Lord. He is over everything. Nothing can challenge his authority. Isn't it funny that sometimes we want to challenge his authority, though? And say, I know what you say, God. I've got this. I'm going to do it myself. But I'm thankful. Aren't you thankful for the awesome God that we have? Our God is good, number one. Number two, our God's mercy is forever. Number three, our God is the only God. Notice even in verse 4 where it says that, where is it? Verse 4, to him who alone doeth great wonders. Do you know I can't do a great wonder? I'd like to, but I can't do a great wonder. I got news for you. You can't do a great wonder either. You know, no little g God can do great wonders, but our God can. Our God is the only God. Number four, our God is the creator of all things. Now, this is not a minor point. Now, if you say, I got the first three, but I'm asleep now, or I got the first three, that's more than my brain can, don't check out, because listen. Our God is the creator of all things. What a foundation to build our life upon. You say, why do so many people in this world have the perspective of God is all messed up and all wrong? It's because they don't start at the beginning. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? In the beginning. That gives us the foundation to build our life upon, because he is the creator of all things. According to the Bible, according to God's word, 6 days, God made everything that is. Our God is the creator God. You know, he goes on, he says several things about that. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, in verse 5. Verse 6, to him that stretched out the earth above the waters. Verse 7, to him that made great lights. And then it describes the great lights. The sun to rule by day. The moon and stars to rule by night. You know, God is such a big God. He made all of that. And there's even a passage in Scripture that says he calls the stars by name. Do you know how many billions of stars are up there? Wow. Nothing really moves me quite as much as a star-filled night. I mean, you go out and you're like, wow. There's been two places that I've been in particular that it seemed to me that the stars were the brightest. One of them was a mountain down in Broxton County. My dad used to own a little piece of property, 20-some acres or so down there. And we'd go hunting a few times. And boy, you go out there, that's where I thought I heard a bear one night. That was not a good part. But the good part was you go out there and there wasn't any lights around. You'd look up and boy, you could see. You could see. My biggest number is a gazillion. You could see a gazillion stars. And the other one was down at Parchment Valley, down there in Ripley. Down there at a retreat center down there. I don't understand, because you think Ripley would have a lot of light, but boy, when you'd look up, star, our God created every single thing that is. Everything. You know, well, you say, can't man create? No, we can manipulate what God has already created, but let's see you make something out of nothing. I mean, if you don't know that, just do it right now in your lap. Just put your hands out like this. Say, I want to make something out of nothing. You can psych yourself up. You can give yourself a pep talk. You can read all the self-help books you want to, but you're not able to create anything. But I'm thankful and I praise God that he is the creator of all things. Our awesome God, 9 reasons to be thankful. Our God is good. Our God's mercy is forever. Our God is the only God. Number 4, our God is the creator of all things. Number 5, our God is a God who delivers. Our God is a God who delivers. Are you going through a difficult thing today? If you are, I've got some really good news for you. The God that I serve, the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is a God who can see you through whatever you're going through. Now, he gives some examples specifically of the children of Israel. I'm just going to hit these really quick. Verse 9, to him that smote Egypt in their firstborn. Isn't that the last plague that released the children of Israel to leave Egypt? Absolutely. And brought out Israel from among them. Verse 12, with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, to him who divided the Red Sea into parts. Remember the children of Israel crossing through the Red Sea on dry ground. Verse 14, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. Remember the waters descended back on them and killed all the armies of Egypt. Remember that? Verse 16, to him which led his people through the wilderness. God never abandoned his children, did he? Verse 17, to him who smote great kings that stood in the way of Israel possessing the land. And then he named some and slew famous kings. Verse 19, Sihon, king of the Amorites. 20, and Og, the king of Bashan, and gave their land for an heritage, even in heritage, verse 22, unto Israel his servant. You see, this demonstrates to me that our God is a God who can deliver you. You say, but, preacher, preacher, preacher. You say that. But I know people that struggled with this. And they maybe had cancer, and they struggled with cancer. They had cancer this number of times, and it kept coming back, and eventually it took their life. God did not deliver them, someone might say. You know what my answer to that is? God gave them ultimate deliverance. Right? Now, this is not a promise. Now, God has the power to deliver us from whatever He chooses. Sometimes He lets us go through things and struggle through things. But if you're going to be delivered from that, it's going to be the power of God. You know, I've known people with alcohol problems and drug problems and things like that. I'm convinced some of these programs are good and worthwhile programs, but apart from God, you're not going to kick that addiction. And add that to whatever addiction you want. But the only way we can be delivered from this body of sin is through the power of God. That God who delivered the children of Israel, who can deliver us. And if He doesn't take it completely away from us in this life, He'll deliver us when we get to heaven. I'm looking forward to that day. How about you? Are you looking forward to God's ultimate deliverance in heaven? You know, we serve an awesome God. Our God is good. Our God's mercy is forever. Our God is the only God. Our God is the creator of all things. Our God is a God who delivers. Number 6, our God remembers us when we are down. This is almost enough to make a Baptist want to shout. Now, if you don't claim Baptist, that's fine. I'm a Baptist. I'm about ready to shout here. You ready? You ready? Listen to what the Bible says. You ready? It says in verse 23, are you ready? I just want you to get ready. Get that amen ready. You ready? Who remembered us in our low estate. Wow. Who remembered us in our low estate. You know, when no one else remembers us, God remembers us. Do you know when no one even thinks of us? God thinks of us. I was reading a psalm today. I'm not sure. I believe it's Psalm 139. It talks about verse 17 and 18. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Did you catch that? God thinks of us innumerable times. We are on God's mind, the God of the universe. And He delivers us when we are down. He remembers us when we are down. You know, I've heard a friend described as, that's one that comes in when the rest of the world walks out. And you go through certain problems, some people are like, step back, right? Do you know what God does? If you're His child, do you know what He does? When you have a problem, God steps right in and says, hey, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to help you through this. He remembers us when we are down. You know, we were down with sin. Yep. We were down with sin. We were going to die and on our way to hell, and the Lord remembered us. He sent Jesus. And even individually, He used His Holy Spirit to convict us of our sin, right? When we were still sinners and say, hey, you need Jesus. You need to trust Jesus. That Holy Spirit pounded on your heart, if you will. Aren't you thankful that the God of the universe remembers us when we are down? Now, that word down could be applied to a lot of things. When we're down because of whatever reason, because of sin, because of living in this old sinful world, but God remembers us when we are down. When the rest of the world leaves us, God is still there. Our God is good. Our God's mercy is forever. Our God is the only God. Our God is the creator of all things. Number 5, our God is a God who delivers. Number 6, our God remembers us when we are down. Number 7, our God redeems us from our enemies. Whoa, look at verse 24. And hath redeemed us from our enemies. Wow. You say, what enemies are we talking about? Our spiritual enemies. You know what our spiritual enemies are in this world? The world,
the world's philosophies, that is, right? The old flesh, right? And the devil, right? God delivers us from that, right? Hello? He redeems us from our enemies. He buys us back from our enemies. We were on our way to a godless hell, but because of what God did, because of what Jesus did, guess what? He has redeemed us from our spiritual enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. He's redeemed us from our spiritual enemies. Guess what? Death, hell, and the grave. Boy. That's almost enough to make a shout, isn't it? He has redeemed us from those enemies. Number eight, our God sustains life. It says in verse 25, who giveth food to all flesh? You know, this world's not going to end until God says it's time to end. We have a whole lot of people wandering around worrying about this planet Earth. Now, don't misunderstand me. We need to take care of our planet Earth, okay? You know, probably one of my biggest pet peeves is when I see someone throw trash out. I'm like, man, can't you find a trash can? Can't you just keep it in your car until you get home? I mean, really. So I'm not one of those that says, well, just treat the Earth however you want to. We are called stewards of the Earth, and we ought to take care of God's Earth. But so many people obsess about this Earth. Oh, we're going to destroy planet Earth. Well, the world's not going to be destroyed until God says it's time to be destroyed. Now, listen, Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. It says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not, what? Cease. That's a promise to Noah after the flood. So, the earth is going to be here until God says it's time for the earth not to be there anymore. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 to 11. Notice these verses. I'll just read them with very little comment. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, that's great, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what God wants to have happen. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which, notice this, the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be what? Burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? You see, the point is, our God sustains life. Our God. It says, you know, how do the deer, you know, with all of us great deer hunters out in the woods, how does any deer survive, us great deer hunters out in the woods, wearing our blaze orange? I didn't hunt this year, but what if I'd have gone out, I got 20 deer, wouldn't I? Couldn't I? But who sustains life? God does. How does everything keep on going? That, remember the life cycle or the cycle? You know, this animal eats this one and this animal eats this one. Remember that in your science books? God put all that together, and God sustains life. He sustains our life. Last point, our God is the God of heaven. Now, this is good too. Look at verse 26. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven. Do you know who I'm going to spend eternity with? Do you know who you that have trusted Jesus as your Savior is going to spend eternity with? The God of the Bible. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That awesome God that does all these things. He's called the God of heaven. Listen to this. Revelation 21 and verse 3. Notice what it says. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God, the dwelling of God, is with men. And he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Look at Revelation 22, verses 4 and 5.
It says, and they shall see his face. Whose face? God's face. And his name shall be in their foreheads. Notice, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign, how long? Forever and ever. Wow! This awesome God is the God of heaven. He's going to be there. And if you've named Jesus as your Savior, given your heart and life to the Lord, you're going to be there too. You know, I really think the greatest part of heaven is that God's going to be there. Wow. Wouldn't that be something? We go to heaven and God decides he's going to go on vacation somewhere else, or he's going to go do something. He's going to be there. We're going to see him face to face. There's no need of sunshine because the Lord is the light of the city. The God of heaven. Let me repeat these one more time. Our awesome God, 9 reasons to be thankful. I know it's a lot to grab at one time, but listen. Number 1, our God is good. Number 2, our God's mercy is forever. Number 3, our God is the only God. Number 4, our God is the creator of all things. Number 5, our God is a God who delivers. Number 6, our God remembers us when we are down. Number 7, our God redeems us from our enemies. Number 8, our God sustains life. And number 9, our God is the God of heaven. 9 reasons to be thankful. You know what? What an awesome God we have. What an awesome God. You know what? That fact of our awesome God should make even the hardest of Christian hearts. Should make the hardest of Christian hearts bow down in thanks and gratitude and praise and worship to this awesome God. If that doesn't move your heart a little bit about our God and how great and awesome and amazing he is, you really, really need to examine your walk with the Lord today. And if you're here today and you say, I really don't think I have anything to be thankful for. Life is tough. Everything is hard. Can I tell you that if you know Jesus as your Savior, that's reason enough to be thankful. What about anyone who may be here today who's never trusted Jesus as your Savior? Do you realize that you can have this awesome God that's described in Psalm 136? You can have this awesome God as your heavenly Father. It's a matter of putting your faith and trust in what Jesus did for you. It's not complicated. It's not something that, you know, you have to have 3 PhDs to figure it out. That's not the way it is. The smallest and youngest of children. I've heard as young as 3. Jason trusted the Lord when he was 4. Ryan was a little slower. He was 5. But let me tell you, I'm kidding, okay? But let me tell you, the gospel is simple. It really is. It's simple. You simply have to believe that Jesus was God's Son who died upon the cross to pay for your sins and ask him to be your Savior and to forgive you of your sins. And if you mean that from your heart, you don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to have 3 PhDs. You just got to mean it from your heart. And if you're here today, what a thought. That God that's been described can be my Father? Amen. Yeah. So I'd encourage you, as we sing this song here in just a moment, I'm going to be standing approximately right there. Would you come up, and if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, would you come up and say, Preacher, I want to be saved. I'd love to show you from God's Word how to be saved. You can leave this building knowing that you're on your way to heaven. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's us, believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a simple, powerful verse. If you've not done that, why not do that? And Christian, if you're here today and your heart is kind of filled up with a little bit of the praise and the worship and the all of our God, maybe the Holy Spirit will say, you know what, you need to go to the altar, get on your knees, and thank God for the God that he is. If that's the case, I want you just to listen to God today. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear God, we commit this invitation to you now. Lord, what an amazing, awesome God. And Lord, those words are very feeble, very small compared to the God that you are. But Lord, may we be thankful, those that know Jesus, every day that we have a God like you that loves us and cares about us and delivers us and sustains us and has created everything about life. Help us to be grateful. Help us to thank you every day. And Lord, if you move upon the hearts of your people to perhaps out of response to what a great God you are to come to the altar, Lord, give them the boldness to step out. And Lord, if there's one soul here today who's never trusted Jesus as their Savior, I pray that they'll settle that today. Give them the boldness to step out, bind Satan's hands to hinder them, and may they give their heart and life to Jesus. Be saved today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.